get ready.
Man, I don't ever want to be so woke that me and the KKK are out here agreeing on the same shit. Before they were killing people to keep us from voting, now we talk ourselves out of the shit.
For real talk.
Before you get out here live wrong talking about minimum wages and starter jobs, educate yourself on why the minimum wage was created in the first damn place.
All the time.
You shouldn't be the same person you was 10 years ago. You should be growing towards a better you every day. And the only ones who will be threatened by that are the ones who refuse to grow and are scared their ass gonna get left behind.
Welcome to the Span Report with your host, Mr. Span.
Yes, indeed, y'all. It's a Thursday night. We out here, like, rocking out to some Diana Ross, y'all. It's episode number 245 of the Span Report. I'm here with my lovely wife, Mrs. Span. Say what's up to the people, baby. I couldn't hear you.
What's up?
Yeah, it's Diana Ross's, like, birthday or something?
Her birthday was March 26th.
Oh, okay, yeah. So, like, Diana Ross's birthday and whatnot. And we rocking out to, like, Upside Down, You Turn to Me. What album is this? I don't know. It's on Spotify. But rock out with us. All right. Diana Ross. I bet y'all never thought y'all hear no Diana Ross on the Span Report, man. This is a first. This is a first, man. 9 years, 245 episodes. Diana Ross makes her debut on the Span Report, man. But, yeah, let's turn that off.
Man, don't disrespect the boss like that.
Okay. Yeah, man, it's episode 245 of the Span Report podcast. I am your host, Mrs. Span, and I am joined by my lovely wife, Mrs. Span, tonight. And, yo, we got some stuff we want to talk to y'all about. Things going on during the week and whatnot. A whole lot of newsy stuff, man. It's a lot of Detroit news in the show this week. So, yeah, we got a lot going on. But, of course, before we get into everything that we do here at the Span Report, of course, I got to let you guys know how to get in touch with us over here at the Span Report and let your voice be heard. Go ahead and hit up that hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. We will play them on the show and respond in kind. And if you're watching the show live, you can chop it up with us here, call the show, and like let your voice be heard while we're doing it, right? So hit up that hotline, area code 313-288-0485. You can also hit us up on the email at feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Leave those emails, and of course, we'll read those emails here live on the show and respond that way as well. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span. And you can follow my lovely wife on these Twitter streets at where, baby?
Podcast Bay.
Yes, indeed. Go ahead and do that. Follow us, chop it up with us throughout the week. Let us know what you're thinking about the things that we talk about here, not only on the Spare Report, but on the Baywatch podcast as well. We did review, what was that movie? Us. We did a review of Us last week, so we may have some, we got some other things coming down the pike as well. Also, leave us a review on iTunes and or Stitcher Radio. 5 stars, preferably. Those 5-star reviews are the ones that get read on the show. Yeah, we don't really appreciate the ones that are less than 5 stars, so y'all don't get no shout-outs on. We not doing that. We just not doing it. Might clown you a little bit, but yeah, man, the 5-star reviews are the ones to get the shine here at the Spirit Report Podcast. We really do appreciate everybody who does that. Helps the show grow. It's one way to put down for the show. Doesn't cost you a dime. Just a couple minutes of your time to let people know why you rock with us over here at the Spirit Report Podcast, right? And you can go to our website www.thespiritreport.com. Go there, watch replays of the show, vote in the polls, donate to the show as often as you like, as much as you like, and of course, we appreciate every dime over here at the Spirit Report Podcast Network. And yeah. I think I got all of the business out of the way. So, babe, today, like, we've been, like, away from each other quite a bit today. I ain't seen you at all, like, till, like, maybe an hour ago.
Yeah.
It's been a long day. Real long day. I was at the dentist today. My teeth feel, like, so fresh and so clean right now, though.
Oh, that's
they
good.
Do. They really do feel, like, good. Like, really good. And I got, like, good reports and shit, too. He's like, oh, okay, yeah, you got, you know. You've been taking care of your shit. I'm like, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Oh, God. I'm
although it was weird, he kept bragging on his dental hygienist, though. Like, the fact that they had been running through a bunch of temps and shit.
Well, I mean, they're probably excited to have some stability.
Yes. Yes. Because I was getting kind of nervous, man. It was a few different hygienists that came through there. And I remember this one lady, like, had me holding the shit, like... It was something that she had me hold out like, this ain't how it's supposed to go. I don't think this.
No, I liked the one lady that she had kind of like short brown hair. She always seemed to be wearing pink. Like, I liked her. She was cool.
I don't know if that was her. But, I remember it used to be like a little Arab lady that was in there. And
no, she was.
Like, she was cool. I thought she was all right. But like, then she like left and then there was this other lady and like, that was the one that had me holding my own apparatus while she was supposed to be doing what she was doing. I'm like, I'm not sure this, how this goes, but all right.
I gotta get in there to the dentist.
Yeah. Ooh. So, no shade, babe. I wouldn't trust and believe. Trust and believe. I don't want them kind of problems. It wasn't that kind of party. It wasn't that kind of party. Okay. Let's just make that clear. Like, just yeah, it wasn't. Basically.
Ho, brother. Whoa. Now you got too much dip on your chip.
I don't need that. I don't need them problems. Okay, baby.
Okay.
what you been up to today?
You know, just chilling.
Like a villain making a killing? Dancing on the ceiling?
No, I've not been dancing on the ceiling. I have some errands to run. I, you know, sell something else on my Poshmark.
Okay.
So, you know, had to go mail that off.
Look at you.
Like a boss.
I see you.
you know, just doing me, trying to get myself together.
All right.
Get together.
All right, I was at work and, you know, doing work things and shit.
Ooh.
I'd be glad when it rained tomorrow, though, like, for real. We had some interesting topics at the job, though. Like, we was, like, talking money and shit with management, and it got heated.
It's always getting heated.
It got heated. People was upset. Because, you know, you got a new, like, station manager and shit. So everybody is airing grievances. It's like you got this, like, you telling on your mama to your grandma. It kind of had that feeling, like, you telling on your mama to your grandma and shit. You feel like somebody got to, I don't have any recourse, but you are like somebody new. Maybe I can vent to you, and maybe some shit will get done. And meanwhile, I'm just sitting there like, it's about to be the same shit.
Like, I mean, yeah.
I'm that jaded-ass vet now. Like,
you're just really jaded.
I'm so jaded at
that
place.
In many aspects of
your life. Trying not to be, though.
Well?
I'm trying not to be, but, you know. But what's up, Stephanie? I see Stephanie in the chat room right now. What up, Pi fam? Yo, Stephanie from the Mocha Minutes podcast, rocking out with us here at the Spare Report. I see you. But yeah, babe, let's get right into this stuff, man. We got a lot of newsy stuff to get into, so of course we're getting right into the news. Hopefully, I don't blast your ears out, babe. Uh All right. Now, the first story we got here in the news is actually some political shit. It's kind of localized, too. You know, we were talking... I know I talk a lot about, a lot of this political stuff. And there was this one article here in clickondetroit.com where they were talking about, despite the fact that Democrats had more popular votes in 5 different states, that Republicans were actually able to retain control of 5 state houses despite having less votes. So we're going to read the story here. This comes out of the clickondetroit.com. It says Michigan is among 5 states where Republicans retain control of the state house, even though Democratic candidates won more votes statewide last fall, according to the Associated Press. The House districts show the fourth highest GOP advantage among all states, trailing Wisconsin, South Dakota, and Florida. The Associated Press used a statistical method of calculating partisan tilt, the so-called efficiency gap that is designed to flag cases of potential political gerrymandering. The examination also revealed that while Democrats flipped 2 Michigan congressional seats in 2018, it could have been 3 if not for the structural advantage enjoyed by Republicans who drew the state legislative and congressional maps following the 2010 census. Democrats had a good 2018, winning the governor's race and all other statewide offices while making gains in the legislature, which remains under GOP control. But the efficiency gap analysis, which assumes that a party increases its seat share by 2 percentage points for each 1 percentage point gain in its statewide vote share, showed that Republicans won nearly 12 more state house districts than would have been expected based on their portion of the vote, more than enough to keep the majority. GOP candidates received 46% of the two-party vote compared to Democrats 54%, yet the GOP won 58 to 52 seat advantages over the Democrats. So,
I'm not trying to make eye contact with you. I'm sitting here like when the teacher asks a hard question in class, everybody just like.
Okay, so one of the things about this, and this is one of the things I think makes people very apathetic about voting, when they feel like their vote doesn't really matter and it doesn't really count, is when you have structural things like gerrymandering put in place where, despite how you may vote and despite more people voting a specific way, that the results may not necessarily be happening in the ways in which they think it should. You see this a lot with the Electoral College, with, say for instance, this happened now twice within the last 3 or 4 presidential elections where the person who lost the popular vote was actually elected president, Donald Trump and George W. Bush the first time. Mm. Like, he lost the popular vote and Hillary Clinton won the popular vote by a little bit over 3 million votes. So people...
Did President Obama win the popular vote?
Yeah, both times. He wiped the flow.
as he should.
He wiped the flow. But yeah, so like people get apathetic about these sorts of things, but one of the things that's happening across like a lot of states, like we also voted this past midterm election, was to have a nonpartisan commission that will draw the congressional districts here in the state so that, Republicans can't draw them, Democrats can't draw them, the commission draws them, and, you vote based on that. Whereas what gerrymandering pretty much allows a political party to do is when you're in power, you get to draw the maps and you pick what districts or who's going to be in your district. Excuse me. So instead of like a congressional district being, kind of boxed off, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes you'll see like a trapezoid ass district, like, well, how you got voters over here? And then you got like this little line that's maybe a road that connects you to over here, and then you got pockets of votes over here. And that's basically politicians picking the votes or picking the pockets of or where they believe they'll have the most votes that will secure their seats. So it's not you picking the politicians. It's the politicians picking the voters that's going to ensure that they stay in power. Mm. So, yeah, that was something I thought was very interesting. Like, that this is 1 in 5, like it was 1 in 5 states, 1 of 5 states, I'm sorry, not 1 in 5, but 1 of 5 states, and our state being one of them, where, the vast majority of the votes that came through were for Democratic candidates, and yet and still, Republicans still hold the state houses. It makes no sense. It kind of goes against what people really want when they go to cast their ballots.
But how do they know, like, which neighborhoods or which places to pick?
Well, that goes into, like, when, you know, sometimes people register, when you register to vote, sometimes people actually register their party. Like, we're not forced to register on their party. Like, when we register to vote, we're technically independents. We can vote in practically any primary. Like, I voted, I remember when the presidential primary happened here in Michigan in 2016, I voted in the Republican primary just to throw shit in it, just to throw salt in their shit. I know it was probably like some silly, it was a silly idea I had, but like, cause I didn't want Donald Trump to win Michigan.
And oh, so you voted.
So I voted for another Republican candidate to keep, or at least, you know, that was my effort in which to keep Donald Trump from winning Michigan. So whether Bernie Sanders or Hillary Clinton won the Democratic nomination in Michigan, because I could have lived with both of them. As much as I don't necessarily like Bernie Sanders, I could have lived with him much more than I could have lived with a Donald Trump.
Yeah.
So I voted in the Republican primary because we have open primaries here. I was like, all right, I voted for, like, what was that, Kucinich or some shit like that? I forget my man's name. He used to be Kasich. Kasich. That's his name. He used to be the governor of Ohio. I said Kucinich. He's a politician too, though. But yeah, so that was what I think. But we're technically independents. So in Michigan, you are able, when you go to register to vote, you are able to register which political party that you belong to as well. So a lot of times what they'll do is they'll focus on where there's a higher concentration of registered Democrats or a higher concentration of registered Republicans. And that's how they'll decide, you know, okay, I got a big pocket of votes over here. We're going to make this a part of my district. I got a big pocket of votes over here. Then we can also try to connect this and make this a part of our district as well. And that's where the politicians are now picking their voters as opposed to the voters picking who they want to represent their district.
Probably just drive around and see how many F-150s with American flag back windows and don't tread on me stickers it is. And
oh,
go
Macomb.
Ahead and
Oh, Macomb County. and my job's employee parking lot.
Yeah.
F-150s. Dodge Rams and Silverados.
The American flags.
And a few Chevy. Colorado!
No. Uh-oh.
So, yeah, that's in the news, man. Republicans out here gaming the motherfucking system, man, for real. Another story that's in the news, and this is actually some more local, you know, Michigan kind of shit. Because, you know, we've been having a lot of strange shit go on here, but this is something I thought was very important, though. So, the Michigan Attorney General actually just banned faith-based adoption agencies from discriminating against same-sex couples adopting children. We're gonna read this.
Oh, the comment is on the screen. Okay, I was confused.
You got it?
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, I see there's a comment on the screen, but I was like, why?
Wait, I didn't take it down? Oh, my bad. That boy been up there for a minute too, man. All right, so
I'm confused.
So check this out. We're gonna read this here. It says Michigan deals bans LGBT discrimination in state adoptions. This is coming out of FoxDetroit.com. It says faith-based. Wait, there's video attached to this. Hold on a second, because if this can keep me from having to read this shit. Let's see if we can pull up that video.
It's gonna be the kind of video that you don't like.
What do you mean?
Where they just have like words.
Like, oh no, this
like a PowerPoint.
I'm getting this straight from Fox too. Like they got their own little video thing.
Oh my god, it's looking like an Oscar the Grouch.
Who's looking like Oscar the Grouch? You? Yeah. Whatever. I doubt that seriously. Let's see. Let me pull that
Go
up.
Go on now, get on with
it. I'm pulling it up, baby. All right, so here's the video here. Yeah, there we go. Expand.
New tonight, the state attorney general has announced a settlement in a case centered on faith-based adoption agencies and their refusal to work with same-sex couples.
But some fear the move could end up keeping thousands of children from being adopted. Fox 2's Randy Wembley with the story.
Adopting a child shouldn't be about whether you're heterosexual or gay.
Religious foster care and adoption agencies put on notice. Work with LGBT couples or get cut off from state aid. Attorney General Dana Nessel settled a lawsuit in which two lesbian couples say St. Vincent Catholic Charities and Bethany Christian Services, two state contracted groups, discriminated against them because of their sexual orientation. Now the Department of Health and Human Services is being encouraged courage to take action against organizations that turn away LGBT people for religious reasons.
For some families right now, their only option in their area is an adoption agency that won't provide services to them because of their sexual orientation or gender identity or gender expression.
State Senator Jim Runstad disagrees.
The parents of gay adoption have access to secular organizations or state-run organizations in every single county that can adopt kids. That's not the issue.
He says bias against religious groups is. Republicans enshrined the law back in 2015, protecting adoption agencies that choose not to provide services for religious reasons.
Okay, hold on. So one of the things that, like, one of the things I find very odd here is, one, they're getting state funding. It's a religious organization. They're getting state funding in order to operate.
Yeah,
there's supposed to be a separation between church and state, and now that the state is enforcing a rule that says, well, in order for you to continue to receive these funds, then we need you to, like, end this particular form of discrimination, suddenly is, well, you're discriminating against us because we don't want to do this. Like, we don't want to give a child to a prospective LGBT couple. It's just kind of weird how, like, yo, it's already, like, commingling church and state as is.
Yeah.
But then to act as if the state isn't within their rights to say, well, if you don't do what we say do with this money, then you don't get no money. And they looking at that as a form of discrimination.
Yeah.
It's just kind of weird how they juxtaposing that.
The Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty, which represented St. Vincent Catholic Charities, caused the settlement a violation of state law. Runstad says there are 14,000 kids in Michigan waiting to be adopted, and religious organizations have about 40% of those cases. Now they'll have to choose between placing those kids in homes or compromising their beliefs.
Oh, another thing. What's the most important? What would you think would be the most important thing of an adoption, you know, agency? Like, what would you think the most important mission is of the?
To get kids adopted to loving, safe, happy families.
Right. Yeah, I think that too. we're right here, baby. But here's the thing, though. Like, these to show how far they will go to not do that. They will shut their doors. They're like, well, these kids won't get adopted. We'll just shut down rather than give them to a prospective couple who's of the LGBTQ community. But that kind of totally contradicts what your mission is, which is to place these kids within loving homes. You got a whole lot of parents out here, or prospective parents, who would love to adopt a child. And because you can't get over your bigotry, and, you know, you couch it in your religious beliefs, but because you can't get over your bigotry, these children who need homes, you're denying them these homes because you don't agree with what you perceive to be a lifestyle.
Right.
Potentially could lose all of these adoption agencies, which is 40% of the total, leaving these kids with nowhere to go.
I think it wouldn't look bad on the state law that doesn't want to discriminate. It would look bad on these adoption services that want to make sure that they have still the right to deny parents the opportunity to adopt kids.
State Senator Jeremy Moss, the only openly gay lawmaker in Lansing, calls the settlement a victory for the LGBT community.
For too long, the state of Michigan has said that kids were better off as orphans than being in loving households. So at long last, we're taking some of the discrimination away from Michigan's laws and making sure that all parents, including LGBT parents, can raise kids in loving, caring households.
Bethany Christian Services, one of the adoption agencies in question, says it's reviewing the settlement. Right now, it's unclear what action, if any, Republican lawmakers will take in light of it. I'm Randy Wembley, and this is The Edge.
Oh, The Edge.
Leave Domeo.
Leave Randy alone. What do you think about that, babe?
I mean, it sucks. Like, why? I don't know. Cause, like, it just, to me, it just seemed, it will seem real awesome to have, like, two dads. Like, I watch like YouTube videos and like two people who are like so, I mean, just over, like, they be overjoyed. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, to have a child and to like, and this is the thing. If you're a same-sex couple, you had to do some extra,
jump through some hoops,
extra work to have a kid. Not to disregard people who have like fertility issues and whatever else, but like, this is a decision that you had to like make. You had to get paperwork together. You had to do like 25, 35, 45, 50 different steps and things, and you had to really, 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 really want this.
Yeah, like, you had to open yourself up to so much scrutiny from like not only just like the adoption agencies, but like state agencies as well. Like, you have to open yourself up in many ways that I think a lot of people almost feel intrusive.
Very much so.
In order for them to feel like, okay, this is a stable enough environment for this child to go into. And even if you do all of that for an LGBT couple, to have this added hurdle of, well, because this is we feel like this is against our religion,
yeah,
we're not going to place this child with you, despite the fact that you may be what this child needs. Like, this child needs to be in a home with someone who's going to love them, raise them, make them, I don't know, an upstanding adult, individual. You know what I'm saying? Like, just raise them up in the right ways, and yet you deny them that because you don't necessarily agree with the quote-unquote lifestyle.
Right.
So, yeah, that's in the news. Another story that we had in the news, like, so, Krispy Kreme. It's in the news. I love me a Krispy Kreme donut.
Okay.
I do.
All right, Tubbs.
See, you had to go there.
Is that right, big fella?
Hey, okay. So, check this out. Krispy Kreme is in the news because they actually looked back into their family history and found out that they family actually, not employed, but they used slave labor and were big proponents and, like, supporters of Adolf Hitler.
God damn!
Yeah, it's a lot. So we're going to read this story here out of the Sun-Times out of Chicago. It says, one of Germany's richest families, whose company owns a controlling interest in Krispy Kreme donuts, Panera Bread, Pret A Manger, and other well-known businesses, plans to donate millions of dollars to charity after learning about their ancestors' enthusiastic support of Adolf Hitler and use of forced laborers under the Nazis, according to a report Sunday. In a four-page report, the Bild newspaper reported that documents uncovered in Germany, France, and the U.S. revealed that Albert Ryman Sr. and Albert Ryman Jr. used Russian civilians and French POWs as forced laborers. Family spokesman Peter Harf, who was one of two managing partners of the Raymond's Jab Holding Company, said recent internal research confirmed Bild's findings. It is all correct, he told the newspaper. Ryman Sr. and Ryman Jr. were guilty. They belonged in jail. The father and son, who died in 1954 and 1984, did not talk about the Nazi era, and the family that had thought that all of the company's connection to the Nazis has been revealed in the 1978 report. But after reading the documents kept by the family, the younger generation began to ask questions and commissioned a University of Munich historian in 2014 to examine the Raymond's history more thoroughly. The expert presented his preliminary findings to the Raymond children and grandchildren as well as half several weeks ago, he said. We are all ashamed and turned as white as the wall, he said. There is nothing to gloss over. These crimes are disgusting. Now, babe, how do you feel about these, how do you feel about like these companies doing this sort of research, going back into their history to find out whether or not they had any ties to like any human atrocities or like, you know, just fucked up shit in the past, and whether or not they have any, you know, connections to that? How do you feel about them looking back into that?
I mean, I kind of have mixed feelings about it, because it's like, great that I don't want to say taking responsibility, but they're kind of taking it upon themselves to like look back and see what maybe their company and stuff, like how they got to where they are. And maybe, I guess, if they're looking back and they're like, okay, if a company, you know, got to where they were because they contributed in, like, the Holocaust or whatever. Mm-hmm. So maybe, like, if they find that out, and then they could go and donate money to Holocaust survivors or to the Holocaust Museum or education about the Holocaust. Because it's kind of like, if you really think about it, most large companies or huge companies that have been around for a minute, mm-hmm. slavery, they, you know what I'm saying, they were helped out by slavery. They did some fucked up shit to somebody.
Yeah.
Or, you know, they fucked over the Native Americans, like, whomever. So it's like, at this point, what can you do? Like, sorry. You know what I'm saying? Like, if they're going back and they're being responsible about it, and they're, like, maybe donating to or, you know, funding for the people that their ancestors kind of screwed over or whatever, okay, mm-hmm. cool. But, like, at this point, we would, if every company did this, like, what do we do? Because it's like, Krispy Kreme is not saying, it's not like Krispy Kreme is saying, our CEO right now is a Nazi or is, you know, still worships Adolf Hitler. They're saying, like, their ancestors of the people who started this company or the people, you know,
yeah,
people who started this company way, 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 way back when, who are now dead and gone. And we don't fucking believe that shit, but they did. So it's like, so you're apologizing for someone that you may have not even met's beliefs. Mm-hmm. It's like, are we we're not going to boycott Krispy Kreme because the people who are in charge of it now seem like good people.
Well,
what do we do with the information when they're finding this out? Like, what do you do with that information?
Well, I think sometimes too, because we live in the age of the internet, and a lot of things, like, in the internet age, like, nothing gets deleted, really.
Yeah.
So it's not as if anything can really be hidden. I think for a savvy company, it's smart business to get in front of to get in front of something like that, to where you expose this yourself and you take this away from somebody who may want to use this as a way to hurt you in some sort of way. Like, you know, if someone tried to, like, you know, someone actually did, you know what? Krispy Kreme had Nazi sympathizers when we first, y'all eating them KK donuts, nigga. Oh. You know, because it's not CC donuts. Like, it's one less K, nigga. I'm just telling you. Oh, my
God.
I'm just saying, right? But I can appreciate not only, like, going back, looking into your history, and when you see something that, you know, you don't necessarily agree with, getting out in front of it and saying so. Because, like, there's so many people, like, right now, like, you know, there's so many different discussions now about, like, reparations and shit, right?
Yeah.
And one of the things that a lot of white people today will say to you when the question of reparation comes up is, well, I didn't own any slaves. I didn't have nothing to do with that. Why am I paying for what my ancestors did? And to a marginalized group, you know, you may not have necessarily owned slaves, but the residual is you got to benefit from that head start that slavery allowed for you to have. You know what I'm saying? And so for Krispy Kreme, or the owner, not necessarily just Krispy Kreme, because they own a bunch of shit. Panera Bread, Keurig, all this shit.
Oh, Panera Bread.
Yeah. So for them to come out and be like, okay, we know that our people was involved in this shit. We also know, like, we don't agree with what the fuck they was on, but we acknowledge that part of the reason why we have what we have is because of that. Therefore, we're going to donate monies to kind of rectify some of that. It's a form of reparations. It might not necessarily be said formally, these are reparations, but to donate to those particular causes and things like that, I kind of think that, like, yo, it's a form of reparations. Like, yo, our people's fucked up. They was on some bullshit. We benefited from the bullshit that they was on. Maybe we should try to do something to rectify this situation, and this is our way of doing it. So I can be appreciative of it in that sense.
I mean, okay, so then if we're really thinking about this, what does a mixed person do? Like, so a mixed person that's mixed with white and black,
well,
you go back on one side who they own slaves, and you go back on one side and they were slaves.
Well, here's the
thing.
Where
are you in this?
Well, for one, Like, I was only using the reparations thing as kind of an example. I don't want us to conflate the two, because the slaves that they were supposedly using were French POWs and Russian Jews.
Okay.
So, I'm just saying, as far as, like, you know, to compare it to, like, reparations was like, yo, when we talk about reparations for, like, American blacks,
yeah,
white people very often will tell you, yeah, I ain't got nothing to do with that. I ain't never owned no slaves. I ain't know my granddaddy to own no slaves. Why am I paying for all of these things? Not understanding the institutional advantages that they have just by simply being white in this country.
Mm-hmm.
Whereby with this company, it's like, yeah, our founders was, you know, they was with Hitler. They was his boy. They rolled with him or whatever. Kind of like motherfuckers roll with Trump right now. But yeah, they was his boy. And we got some advantages for being tight like that. And now we're a conglomerate company with, all of these resources. Maybe a way to right these wrongs is to donate these monies to these causes as a way of recompense. You know, like, as a way to kind of reckon the fact that, like, yo, we had these advantages, we had these benefits, and they may have been ill-gotten.
I mean, okay, so where do we draw the line on this? Because in that case, shouldn't every company that was founded by a man be sitting here apologizing to women for their mistreatment and, you know, discrimination, using our ideas and acting like it was theirs? Like, shouldn't every company that's owned by a man be sitting here apologizing to us women and giving us some type of corporate reparations and such?
Shit, low key, maybe. I know we talking hypothetically, but yeah, that's possibly something that should probably happen. But I think it goes back to, like, the will of the company, because, like, basically, like, every company's not doing this. Like, they took it upon themselves, like, yo, we want a commission, we want you to go back in our history and find out for us whether our peoples was on some bullshit.
I think, and the thing about this is I think where this type of issue and this type of research or whatever you want to call it, mm-hmm. is more important or maybe even more meaningful is when it comes to, like, smaller businesses or when it comes to things that actually affect, like, our policy. So, like, politicians,
mm-hmm.
People who start schools, local government and stuff like that. I think that those are things that they need to be aware of so they can either get ahead of it or so that it's public information so that we can know, like, Adolf Hitler was your great, 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 great granddaddy or whatever, what have you. I guess I don't even know if it's been that long ago to where it would be that many greats, but
he was in, like, the 40s or something. I don't think it's that long ago.
So that needs to be public information so that we know, and then you can take your stance on it, whatever it is, and then let us as people make that decision of whether to support or not. Because I mean, like, sure, like, Panera and Krispy Kreme's cool, like, we have a Keurig, like, great, but, like, these are things that are, like, non-factors. Like, if, oh, I don't want to go to Panera, I can go to Subway. If I don't want to go, you know, like, if I don't want to go to Krispy Kreme, like, I'll go to Tim Hortons. Like, whatever. These are things that don't really matter in, like, the grand scheme of things.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, sure, that's nice of them, and that's cool that they, like, went back, they're taking responsibility, they're kind of taking ownership of their past, and not just kind of trying to ignore it. But, like, when it really matters, these are the people who are, like, hiding their past. These are the people who, like, someone's digging up their yearbook and from their law school and seeing that they were dressed up in blackface. And now we have to go back and question every decision that they've ever made. So if more people that where it really mattered kind of did this type of research or kind of came out with this type of information, I just think it would be more effective than, like, a big, huge corporation. Like,
well, you know, with that, it kind of goes into, truth be told, like, a lot of white people just aren't really invested in, like, going back and learning that shit and being accountable for that shit.
I mean, and also, not to be, like, devil's advocate, but it's a lot of black people back in whatever time that wasn't shit. It's a lot of Hispanic people back, believe. You know, 40, 50 years ago that wasn't shit.
But the difference between those black people who weren't shit and those Hispanic people who weren't shit was that they didn't have the power of the institution or the state to kind of enforce their ain't shitness on everybody else.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the difference between the two. Like, we talk a lot, or at least I talk about it a lot on the show, is, like, everybody wasn't really down with the civil rights movement. You know, there was some niggas who just, like, wasn't, like, they're like, shit, I got it good. They got, y'all out here rabble-rousing and shit, making all kind of noise, motherfucker. I mean,
wait,
my shit good.
Rabble-rousing?
I'm saying, you know, they probably used rabble-rousing in the 60s. You know what I'm saying? You jive. I'm just saying, not everybody was.
Yeah.
And it's the same today. As much as you would like to think that everybody is on the same page.
Yeah.
Everybody ain't. And everybody, like, even though they may want the same thing, they have different ideas as to how to go about getting it. And so, I'm just saying, like, as far as, like, these or this particular company,
yeah,
I kind of find it refreshing that they would go back and look into their connection to that and seek to rectify it in some sort of way, as opposed to a lot of companies who try to hide their connections to atrocities, try to hide their connections to, you know, slavery or unsavory business practices and shit that allowed for them to become as large and, you know, influential as companies that they are. I just find it refreshing that they would actually go about the business and, like, hey man, let's see if we was really as fucked up as they say we was.
You also have to think about, there's companies, then two that are coming to my mind are Hobby Lobby and Chick-fil-A. Companies that are blatantly, like, saying, we're closed on Sundays because we expect our employees need to go to church and then be at home with their family. We are not supplying, our insurance that we provide our employees is not going to cover birth control, abortions, many other things. Like, Chick-fil-A come, you know, all type of news every other week coming out about them being homophobic, xenophobic, like all of these things. So it's like, there's companies out here that, sure, like, they're looking back in their past, but, like, what about these companies that's out here, like, putting it right in our face?
Oh, and, like, well, for one, like, I've never really felt any reason to go into a Hobby Lobby.
I mean, I have.
Yeah, I know.
They have some good shit in there, but when I really stopped and thought about it, I was like, yeah.
But then, like, you know, so some of these companies, like, depending on where you live, are very easy to just, like, eh. You know, like, yeah. Chick-fil-A. Like, we don't really have many Chick-fil-A's here in Michigan. And the one time I did have Chick-fil-A, I wasn't fucking impressed. So, like,
I'll be completely clear and honest. Anytime that I've gone out of town somewhere where they had Chick-fil-A and, like, I had that shit and that shit was fucking amazing. Mm-hmm. And, you know what I'm saying? I got my entire life to the damn Chick-fil-A. But, like, are we really gonna stop and, like, be conscious about each and every decision that we make, each and every place that our dollar goes? Right. Like, in that case, it's like, we'll be at home not spending no money. Because
it's a lot of tainted shit out here.
Yeah, and nobody's pretty much clean.
Kind of have to, like, draw your line as to, you know, everybody has a line as to, like, I'm not fucking with that.
Yeah.
You know, and you just got to figure out how you're going to maneuver around that. And, yeah, like, we know, that's the weird thing about now. Like, you know everybody's fucking political stances.
Yeah.
Everybody. So, yeah, Krispy Kreme's owners and shit, like, found out that they peoples was Nazis and whatnot. That's in the news. Another story that's in the news, and, yo, this nigga been in the news for, it's going on like 3 months now. But, yo, so Jussie Smollett had every last one of the charges. He has 16 charges against him, y'all. 16, and them boys was all fucking, they dropped all them charges against Jussie Smollett. All right, so we're going to read this story here. This comes out of CNN.com. As a matter, whoa, this shit is taking a while to load. Jesus Christ, CNN. What are y'all doing here? I'm going to read the story. It comes out of CNN. It says, all charges against Jussie Smollett, the actor who had been accused of staging a hate crime against himself in Chicago, were dropped Tuesday, a development that his attorneys hailed as vindication, but angered top city officials who were still calling his victimhood claim a hoax. The move is a dramatic reversal in a case in which police alleged just last month that the 36-year-old Empire actor hired two acquaintances.
I've been truthful and consistent on every single level since day one.
On March 26th, okay, so, the Twisting Saga.
Yeah, I hate when that happens. Mayor Rahm Emanuel told CNN's Wolf Blitzer that Smollett used the prospect of a hate crime to advance his acting career and is now walking around like he did nothing wrong. The mayor said if Smollett were not an actor with influence, he would have been held to a different legal standard. It's just not right. It's not right on any level, he said. The prosecutor in the case said he understood that people would question dropping the charges, but that thousands of cases have similar resolutions, and Smollett forfeited his bail money and did community service, so that matter would be closed before trial. The Cook County State's Attorney's Office released little about why it abandoned the 16 felony disorder conduct charges, except to say that it came after reviewing the case's facts, and that the actor agreed to forfeit his $10,000 bond. Parts of the case would be sealed, one of Smollett's attorneys said. After reviewing all of the facts and circumstances of the case, including Mrs. Smollett's volunteer service in the community and the agreement to forfeit his bond to the city of Chicago, we believe this outcome is a just disposition and appropriate resolution to this case, the state's attorney's office said in a statement. So, baby, how did you feel about this Justice Smollett case? Like, what were you thinking when this shit came down, when they just dismissed all the charges against him?
I mean, at the end of the day, like, I was one of those people that just really didn't have very many feelings about it, because I'm like, well, like, let's see how this shit pans out. Because I just had no idea. Mm-hmm. You know, like, no one really knows mm-hmm. what happened other than him and whomever else was involved. So I was not one of those people that immediately thought he was lying. I wasn't one of those people that immediately just thought he was telling the truth. Mm-hmm. I was like, we'll see what happens. But once I started to realize, like, okay, like, no offense, but whatever's going down with Chicago law enforcement, government, and all that shit, like, shit's fucked up over there. I don't know what the fuck the Windy City got going on. But once I started to think more about that, like, ho. Maybe we won't really ever get, like, the truth. Maybe we won't find out. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Maybe he's not going to get a fair trial. He's not getting a fair chance to really speak out. It was kind of like, you know, I had to kind of think about it more, and I still kind of don't know what to think. Like, is it okay to say that I think that he did pay to have them beat him up? Mm-hmm. Is it okay to say that I don't think that he did? I don't know. I don't mm-hmm. know what's, like, I see the jokes, people going off, you know, saying, getting their jokes off, and, like, they're funny or whatever, but I just have a hard time. Like, I don't understand. I don't know what, like, the true consensus among my contemporaries is. Like, do we believe him?
I don't know if there really is a consensus. I think there is. I'll say this. I think there are more people who believe that he staged this whole thing.
Yeah.
I think there are more people who believe that. I'm in the minority on this. I don't, because I never really saw the reasoning as to why they believed he staged this. I never bought that. Yeah. Like, the reasoning was, okay, he staged a hate crime upon himself to advance his acting career. I was like, where's the blueprint for that? When has that ever worked for anybody?
I mean,
when has that been the way to advance your career as an actor, as a singer, whatever? Like, when has that ever worked for anybody?
And because then you become kind of like a martyr. You kind of become, if some shit has, it's just like, okay, if you're going to protest and stuff and you're saying that you're standing up for whatever cause it is, mm-hmm. right? Okay, so you're going to protest, like, you're just like a regular person going to the protest. You're standing up for the cause. But, like, if you get arrested and thrown in jail and the police rough you up a little bit and then you get out, all of a sudden, like, you're higher on the totem pole amongst those who are protesting against whatever cause that you're protesting against. So I can kind of see, like, the reason why he would set this type of thing up. I also was among, like, the very few people that were like, I wonder, did the people at fucking Empire, like, is this all a big, like, you know what I'm saying? have something to do with their show, and right. then they didn't think it was going to take off like this, or like, you know, like, is this some shit, some small shit that somebody else planned that he was kind of in cahoots with, and then they didn't know it was going to, like, just fucking take off and run? Mm-hmm. Or, because there's just so many things, it's just confusing to me, because it's like, it was these two people that he actually happens to know. Mm-hmm. So it's like, that could go either way. Like, either they knew, he knows them, so they knew where he was gonna be, so they went to go fuck him up. Mm-hmm. Or he knows them and he paid them to do such and such. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I don't know what to think. Yeah. And I don't think, and the thing is, I also don't think we are ever going to know the absolute truth. I think you have to either choose whether you're going to believe what Jesse is saying, or you got to choose whether you're going to go with what the Chicago police and the government in Chicago is saying.
Yeah, so like, you know, having my own fucking experience with the Chicago police, fuck them. I like, and not only just with my experience, like, I think too, like, what, see, it's a lot with this, man. And this is where, like, my cynicism comes in, and it's in kind of overdrive. Like, this is the same fucking police department,
yeah,
who for months tried to bury what happened to Laquan McDonald. Laquan McDonald was shot 16 times by a police officer for no fucking reason, apparently. Like, and they tried to suppress that video, and they suppressed it all the way up until after the election, where Rahm Emanuel was able to get himself reelected. I believe if that video had come out before the election, Rahm Emanuel wouldn't be the mayor of Chicago right now. And for him to be on CNN and all these other media platforms talking about how this is a whitewash of justice and all this other bullshit, it's like, nigga, that's real rich coming from your punk ass. The other thing too is, I feel like the Chicago police, like, it was a lot of bullshit going on. Like, so you had the leaks going on where, like, certain stories where, like, you had the leak story and then you had the official story. They were leaking like a sieve when it came to this story. Like, there were people in the Northwestern Hospital in downtown Chicago who got fired for looking through his medical records and shit. Like, people were just like, it was messy all over the place. And then on top of that, I feel like they tried this in the court of public opinion. So this, you know, the Chicago police superintendent, you know, he goes out, he's like, yeah, we got all of this evidence against Jesse Smollett. You know, the guys who apparently attacked him are saying that he paid him to do this. They totally wiped out all level, like, they totally wiped out any possibility of prosecution for those brothers because they spoke out against Jesse Smollett. When I kind of feel like, yo, aren't these niggas accessories? You know what I'm saying? Like, if he did set this up, he paid them to do it. And because, like, suddenly they were like, well, fuck it, he paid us. It seemed like a very simple way for them to sit, like, if we can get out of this shit, we will. And so I was just kind of like, yo, man, I really don't believe, like, I didn't believe the story about him doing this to advance his career. Because even if that had happened, we've seen what happens to, like, celebrities who get extra political. Like, you look at Colin Kaepernick right now, who got political, his ass ain't got no career no more. Jussie Smollett is looking at possibly not really having much of a career after this. He's going to be seen as toxic. Nobody's going to really want to touch him after this.
Yeah, I mean, especially if they believe that he paid.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, but, and also to me, it's like, all right, so let's go back to when this whole event occurred. Did he call the police?
I don't think he called him immediately, no.
Okay, so what would he be being punished for? What is it? What is the crime that he committed?
I believe it. What was it? Like, what was the actual charge? Is it,
because if it's like, you know, a false police report or whatever.
It wasn't that. It was something else.
Because I don't understand. This, to me, it's like, what occurred in this situation that is against the law?
I think they called it, like, disorderly conduct. Like, he had, like, it was something about disorderly conduct. I'm trying to look up the actual charges that he had. He was, let's see. Yeah, earlier this month on 16 felony counts of disorderly conduct.
I don't understand that. That's because, to me, that's also where I've had a really hard time taking this seriously, but, like, that's always been, like, my confusion with how this became so severe when it comes to, like, the laws and stuff. I get how it became, like, sensationalized in the press and, like, the court of public opinion and everything, because, like, that's some shit. Like, nigga, if he faked getting attacked for whatever reason, and then posting pictures with a little cut under his eye and shit, like, he talking to Lee Daniels on FaceTime in the hospital. Like, this is a whole fucking rap. Like, this is some shit right here. You know what I'm saying? This is an episode of Empire. But if he didn't, if this really happened and all that, like, if this really happened, then yes, I understand the legal, because you can't like go beat somebody up and assault them and whatever else. Like, you can't do what he's saying happened to him. Mm-hmm. You can't do that. But like, okay, if the assault and whatever never happened, but now he's being sued, like, I don't get it.
Here's the thing, and here's what I really think happened. Here's what I think happened. I don't know, but it's what I'm thinking happened. What I'm thinking happened is, during the course of this investigation, or the prosecutor or whatever, I think what they may have found was some of the detectives who may have been a part of this case were tainting the case by leaking some of this information out to the press. Because again, there were a lot of leaks coming out during this entire thing. And, you know, it's like, yeah, like the leaks, there was the leaks, and then there was the official story that the Chicago police were giving. So I think that has a lot to do with it. Also, I kind of believe that they felt like they really couldn't have, like, there really wasn't an opportunity for him to have a fair trial in Chicago or in Illinois because of the public way that the Chicago police put this out.
Yeah.
You know, like, there was, like, everybody had an opinion on it.
Yeah.
Like, everybody did. Like, this was a nationwide story. Before he ever would have gotten into a courtroom, everybody already maybe had their mind made up as to, you couldn't say, well, I ain't know nothing about what was going on. Who is Jussie Smollett?
Yeah, you wouldn't be able to find a panel of jurors that had no opinion or had no previous, like, introduction to this issue. But, okay, so the city is asking for him to pay $130,000.
That's the police being petty.
This is okay.
They mad. They mad, mad.
But like, this is the thing. If this is all fake, should he have to pay?
Well, here's the thing that I think is interesting. Like, yo, the state's attorney dropped all the charges against him. I don't know how enforceable that is. Had he been found guilty...
Yeah, then he would have to...
Had he been found guilty, then yes, I think that, yeah, they'd be like, yo, we spent all this money investigating this shit. You was on some bullshit.
Yeah.
And you wasted all our time, all our resources, all this money. You need to pay this back. But because those charges have now been dropped, and, like, Kim Fox was like... When she was like that, I kind of feel like, yeah, that's Chicago police being the Chicago police, petty as fuck, because I don't see how you can hold him responsible for that if y'all can't even get a guilty plea or y'all can't even get a guilty verdict. How is he on the hook for that when you can't, he's not condemned?
So
how you make a motherfucker pay a fine for some shit he's reportedly not guilty of?
Yeah. Okay, so they're saying it's a fine. They didn't sue him. Are they saying...
How can you even fine him?
No, this is the problem. This is what I'm asking is, mm-hmm. Are they suing him for these monies? Or are they trying to just say, it's a fine? Or are they just asking him, hey, nigga, run down pockets real quick?
I think it's more so like a symbolic kind of thing. I don't know if it's really enforceable. And, like, if anybody knows, like, yo, like, correct a nigga if I'm wrong. I don't know how enforceable it is when you got a guy who's had every charge against him thrown out. Like, that'd be like if, like, when the Chicago police, when my case got thrown out, and the Chicago police was like, yeah, but you stay, we had to lodge you for two nights or a night. You need to pay us for, like, the food we fed you while we had you. Like, wait a minute, nigga, like, that shit got thrown out. I'm not responsible for none of that shit.
Okay, so here's... what is this? Associated Press, so AP News.
Mm-hmm.
So, the Justice Department sometimes brings federal cases after state prosecutors have declined to file charges. including after police shootings that the federal government believes might constitute civil rights violations. But department policy generally restricts prosecutors from bringing federal charges after the state charges have been resolved, unless they can establish that a potential crime at the crime at issue is a federal one and involves a substantial federal interest. So if Smollett fails to pay, officials could charge him with violating a city ordinance and seek fines, damages, and court costs.
Sound like some bullshit to me, but like, cause and I, like it was funny because like Trump is now like talking about this shit as an embarrassment on the nation. Like, nigga, the audacity, like pot meat kettle. You know what I'm saying? Like, nigga, of anybody who's a national embarrassment, it is your ass. But yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't think he should. If the charges have been dropped against him, I don't think he should be paying the city of Chicago.
Yeah, it doesn't really make any sense. Like, if you get a parking ticket and you go to a traffic court and fight the shit, you don't got to pay the parking ticket no more.
Yeah, it's like it's petty. Like, there's a Republican Chicago state senator or state legislator or whatever who's now trying to make it to where if any like film company who gets tax incentives in the state of Illinois, that they rescind their they don't get the tax incentives if they employ him. Like, he actually brought that shit up as a bill and put that shit up. Yo, so it's the Smollett law. If you employ Jussie Smollett, then we will take away your tax incentives. Like, nigga, really?
I think that they're just, I mean, it's just like it's a circus.
It is. It's like,
it's a circus. And the thing that kind of makes me lose interest in stuff like this is we will never know.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like you pretty much, I think pretty much from the beginning, you have been like kind of on Team Jussie. Like, you know what I'm saying? You've kind of, it's kind of has come across to me like you kind of like been on his team. So it's like, either you decide to take the fucking Chicago police Rahm Emanuel side, or you decide to take his side, and that's what you go with.
Well, I think, because there's a little bit more to it than that, I think at first, when the story first broke, one of the things I saw a lot on social media was there was a lot of homophobic shit tied to why they didn't believe what happened to Jussie Smollett. And I got into quite a few different arguments with known fucking homophobes. Like, nigga, I'm like, come on, bro, you got problems with gay people. And like, this is what it is. And so, like, on the basis of, on the basis of that, it was like, yo, the fact that there was so many homophobic people, like, coming out, like, yo, I don't believe this shit, he on some bullshit, this, that, and the other, the fact that those same people who ordinarily wouldn't be siding with Trump found themselves on the side of Trump supporters. That was another thing. And then the other thing, too, was my own personal experience with the Chicago police and the history of the Chicago police. I know they be on some bullshit. Like, so putting those three together, I was just like, even if I'm wrong about this, I would much rather be wrong about, I would much rather believe that someone of a marginalized community had something happen to them and they were speaking out about it, than to believe like, yo, man, like, you really just, like, did you really fucked that up for a lot of people?
Yeah.
Because as with all of the things that are going on right now, with hate crimes being up, with LGBT, we were just talking about LGBT people being discriminated against, with the adopting kids and everything, and with Trump being in office, with all of these things going on, it's like, damn, man, for real, nigga?
Yeah.
And I didn't want to, as jaded as I am, I didn't want to be jaded about this. And so, like, you know, I saw a whole bunch of people when the story kind of flipped with it, like the Chicago police was, you know, saying he did this as a hoax to advance his career. Like, again, like I said, even that never made fucking sense to me. You know, so it's like, all right. And, yeah, I wanted to gloat, but I didn't.
I guess to kind of, I mean, innocent people are proven guilty all day.
Every day.
And guilty people are proven innocent every day.
Every day.
So, who fucking knows?
Yeah. But it's time. I'm tired of talking about this nigga.
Okay.
But it's time for us to go into our next segment, and that is Blue Blazes.
What in blue blazes is going on out here? Did this nigga just say Blue Blazes?
All right. In Blue Blazes, we got somebody else who, a celebrity caught up in some shit. Cardi B.
Oh.
Cardi B is in our Blue Blazes. And so let me see if I can pull this story up. So I know that it's a lot to this particular story. A lot that goes beyond this video that I'm about to play. And I've tried to pay as much attention to as much attention to this as I could. You said it's loud?
Yeah, it's really loud.
Let me pull this down some. All right. But I've tried to pay as much attention to this as I could. But I've seen a lot of commentary about this particular subject. I've got some thoughts about it. I haven't said shit about it. Mm. But I got some thoughts on it.
I'm sure you do. They can be having some thoughts.
Okay. My wife trolling me right now. yeah, I got some thoughts on it. And it's about Cardi B apparently talking about drugging niggas and robbing niggas before she got on as a rapper. Right. You were saying something, baby?
Come on with the video, man.
Okay, I'm going to come on with the video. Because, baby, like, come on, man. Why you being extra? All right, let me play this video so you guys can check this out with me here. Let's expand that. Boom. Here we go.
Oh, Bonnet Life.
Bonnet Life.
I paid over $50,000 in studio time because you got to pay good engineers, you got to go to a good studio, and you got to put in that bread. I did it with my money. So for a bitch to say that I don't motherfucking deserve it because I don't put in no fucking work, now that's when I feel like niggas is bugging. Because I did it myself. Niggas must have forgot, my nigga, the shit that I did to motherfucking survive. Like, I had to go straight. I had to go, oh yeah, you want to fuck me? Yeah, let's go to this hotel. And I drug niggas up and I rob them. That's what I used to do. Nothing was motherfucking happening to me, my nigga. Nothing. So for a bitch to motherfucking say that I don't deserve shit, that's when I know that they fucking bugging. Because they do not fucking know the shit that I had to do. So niggas could take me out because nobody wanted to help me. Nobody. Nobody wanted to fucking help me, my nigga. Nobody.
All right. I know I'm gonna talk a lot, baby. Did you have any thoughts on this at all?
Listen up.
I knew that was gonna happen. I was just waiting.
Yeah, I was trying to stop it, but it wouldn't.
I mean, what you mean you about to have? Do you have to do a monologue or something?
I just might. Because I got a lot of thoughts. I got a lot of thoughts.
Let's just have a conversation.
Okay.
All right. Proceed.
So I'm asking you though, what do you think about it?
I think, what do I think about what she said, or what do I think about the fallout of
any of it? Like, what do you think about what she said?
I think what she said is real. Mm-hmm. I think this is some shit that a lot of y'all's mamas, daddies, aunties, and whatever else that did some shit similar and are not admitted to. I think this is something especially like that I still hear about this shit happening today. Mm-hmm. And not just to like famous rapping ass niggas and famous, you know, NFL players or whomever. Like, this is some shit that's happening today. Like, I don't know what it is that we was watching the other day and we both was like, that shit look like a fucking setup. Mm. It was something with a girl and a guy, and I'm like, that shit look like a setup. Mm. Like, this is some shit that happens every day. Also, your favorite rapper's favorite rapper is rapping about doing some fucked up shit similar or worse. Mm-hmm. Every single day. Mm-hmm. And you ain't got no qualms about it. Not you personally, but there's no qualms about it. You know what I'm saying? Unless you're the type of person that's really sitting around only listening to like Common, Talib Kweli, and like, you know what I'm saying? Unless you that type of person, You know what I'm saying? If you've ever listened to a rap song, you've heard probably worse of shit. I mean, niggas is out here rapping about selling crack to pregnant ladies and raping women, beating women up, dogging women out. And of course, there are those people that are like, that's, we shouldn't be talking about that. Like, there are those people, but the great majority of us is sitting there just bopping along to the song. Like, if you think about, especially now, I think we talked about this on the, I don't know where we talked about this, but we talked about this. There's this new crop of young female rappers that are kind of being just as brash and as, I guess, crude, if you want to say, as the male rappers are being. And, like, all I can think about is City Girls, like, talking about, like, fucking niggas who scam and, like, all type of shit. Like, this is the wave of what's going on today. So I don't understand. I haven't really seen a lot of backlash for it. I think it's because the people who I follow is like mostly, you know, a bunch of black girls. It's like, fuck these niggas anyway. So, like, I haven't seen a lot of backlash for it. So, I don't get what the big deal is. Like, yeah, it's fucked up. Yeah, she said it was fucked up. Mm-hmm. She ain't never pretended to be anything else but like like what she is, who exactly she is. It's not like people are out here that probably may think that she claiming blood for the looks of it or because she like red or whatever, but if you fucked with her from the beginning, from when she had braids and was on doing IG videos and on live and whatever with her fucked up teeth, like, you know, like, she was about that action, she was about that life. Like, she had videos where she was like, I had to duck out the club and leave because the nigga that, you know what I'm saying, I did some fuck shit to, like, walked in. Like, this is not new news. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is, but she just has expressed it, you know, and it's coming out. So I don't see what the fallout is.
Okay. So, like I said, I got some thoughts. One of the things that, like, as I was watching that video, I was, like, kind of, like, just taking into the fact of, like, yo, she's so young. Right, like, and I feel like, I feel like that, like, that some things are kind of just like better left unsaid. Like, everything ain't necessarily got to be said. I feel like when it comes to, like, with young people and social media, like, everything they do, they feel like they have to express it to these people who don't necessarily give a fuck about you. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, you doing all of this and, like, a lot of these people don't care about you. They just want to consume you. They don't care about, like, how, like, they don't care about nothing as long as you are providing them entertainment or giving them something to talk about. And so, like, that was one of the things that kind of struck me, like, yo, like, she was going, but, like, people saying this and people saying that, and a lot of these people kind of wish they were in her position right now.
Yeah.
And I felt like, because she's young, maybe she isn't necessarily understanding that when she's, you know, on live and, you know, expressing that. Like, you know, she feels like she has to say these things to these people who really are only just consuming more. They just want more. You'll never be able to feed the beast and have it satiated. It's always going to be, people want more and more and more from these people. The other thing I was thinking about it is, like, I remember, I kind of, and I've said this on the show before, where I kind of missed a time where I didn't know so much about the people who entertain me. Right?
Yeah.
And, like, it's really made it, like, and I don't know, it's a personal quirk of mine or what, but, like, it's really made it hard for me in the sense of, like, sometimes I can't really enjoy certain things because I know these other things about the motherfucker on screen, or I know the other things about this motherfucker that's coming through my radio speakers or whatever else. I'm like, ah, but this motherfucker be on this shit. Nah, I don't really fuck with that. Like, and it's, like, for me, it's, like, it's a sticky kind of thing. And so with social media, it's kind of colored my thoughts on a lot of motherfuckers. Like, I remember I used to love listening to Talib Kweli. And then I followed the nigga on Twitter and was like, God damn, this motherfucker here, boy. And I had to kind of fall back. Like, same thing with Lupe Fiasco. Like, damn, I used to like his shit, and then, like, he's following on like, so many of the, like, I get that, like, social media gives the celebrity the ability to reach directly out to their fans, say exactly what they need to say without being taken out of context or edited by some magazine editor or whatever else. They could, it's like a, you know, Donald Trump talks about this shit all the time, and it's true. It's a way to him, for him to say what he wants to the people who really fuck with him. And so I just kind of missed that time where I didn't know so much about these motherfuckers. Like, I could just turn on the radio and boom, yeah, that's my jam. You know what I'm saying? And I ain't had to think about all this other shit going on with them. But because of social media and to a large degree, you know, entertainment news and everything, I know too much about these motherfuckers. The other thing is that I think a lot of people are giving passes to Cardi right now because they like Cardi. If this had been, like, I just feel like that. Like, if you didn't like Cardi B, I don't see the fleas being copped for Cardi B if you didn't like her. A lot of people like Cardi B. Cardi B is that shit right now. She's the number one girl in the rap, in hip-hop right now. A lot of people like Cardi B. And I think a lot of the pleas that are being copped for Cardi B right now are because people like her. And they want her to win because they see how genuine she is. They see how real she seems to be. So they want her to win. And so, like, although like, yeah, Biggie Smalls talks about, you know, raping somebody's mama and all this other shit, or Eminem talks about, you know, like, killing his baby mama. Like, it's a whole lot of shit niggas rap about, talk about. Some of the shit may be real. Some of the shit may not be. I think some of that, we kind of couch it in, well, I don't really believe that nigga did that. I don't know if that's, you know, like, some of them, maybe. That nigga might have been a stick-up kid. Like, 50 Cent kind of came on talking about how to rob niggas. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, like, as much as, yo, we kind of let that go, I don't think anybody is like, yo, I fuck with that nigga because he robbed niggas. It's like, nah, like, that was fucked up, but the song is dope. So like, there's that. And then there's this other thing. It's a lot of niggas who are looking at this as an opportunity to kind of take a shit on the Me Too movement, so to speak. And they're looking at this as women are being hypocritical because, well, Cardi was out here drugging niggas and robbing them, and we were just talking about Bill Cosby, and all these women was talking about how fucked up Bill Cosby was for drugging these women and raping them. Like, you gotta be consistent. And fuck every nigga that says that, because rape and robbery ain't the same thing. And to put those things on the same fucking plane is dumb as shit to me. Like, that's just dumb. Like, they're not the same. I just feel like it's just like it's a lot of agendas, but yeah, it was like it was a lot of different things that I was seeing over the course of the week as I was kind of watching them. And I didn't say nothing about any of it because, truth be told, I was just kind of like, I really wanted to formulate my thoughts on it. But to see like how it was playing out on social media, like watching out, like how some of this may not even be like real. Like, I was seeing a story, like some nigga said like he was a victim, like she raped him and shit while he was like knocked out or whatever. Come to find out that was some hoax ass shit, and people were passing that around as if it was legitimate. The story just kind of blew up and took on a life of its own, but at the same time I was just like, it's too much. And it was like so much shit going on. I was just like, it's too much. But it was a lot of agendas being kind of thrown on Cardi and this particular situation. I just had like those thoughts on that.
I mean, I don't know if it's because like of the way that I grew up or people that I was around, You know, I went through a real ratchet phase. Mm-hmm. In like, you know, high school, the end of middle school, and, you know, saying the beginning of college. So I don't know if I'm jaded, but I was rather unfazed by the story because I just expected that type I guess because I believe the image that Cardi has put forth, well, the image that she was putting forth at first, because I feel like now, you know, they're trying to like kind of clean up her image so it can be kind of packaged and sold a little bit more. Mm-hmm. So I believe the story, the image that I believe that that's how she is. I believe that the things that she's rapped about are things like that's how she is. She's not one of those, the rappers, like fucking, if Iggy Azalea came out and said the same shit, I'd be like, bitch, you lying. Like, you ain't did none of that shit. You know, like, I'm not surprised that these are things that have occurred and these are things that she's done. So I don't understand why other people are so surprised, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like, are people going around thinking that, like, she was faking this? Like, she was faking being, you know what I'm saying, from the hood? She was faking stripping in the hood? She was faking, you know what I'm saying? Like, I believed it. Mm-hmm. And these are, and I just also, it really bothers me that why are we accepting that Jay-Z fully sold drugs? Mm-hmm. Fully, you know what I'm saying? Whatever, like, why do we accept, like, Snoop Dogg? Mm-hmm. Fully claiming, you know what I'm saying, what he was claiming.
Right.
Why do we accept that? Fully, like, was talking about being a fucking gang member, being, you know what I'm saying, in the streets, doing whatever. Fucking accept it. Like, we accept that. Why is she different?
I think part of that is when these people came into our lives, right? So, like, take for instance, like, with, like, Snoop and Jay-Z. Like, Snoop came out maybe, I want to say maybe 92, 93, I was 12 or 13 years old. Jay-Z came out, I was 16 years old. There were people who were probably my age now, back then, who were like, that's some bullshit. You know what I'm saying? Like, we think back to what was that lady's name? C. Dolores Tucker. I remember Tupac rapping about her because he was mad about the fact that, like, it was a whole lot of people at the time who were talking about how detrimental gangster rap was to the community and everything else.
Yeah.
As a kid, like, I was like, nah, that's some bullshit. What they talking about is some bullshit. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is what's real. This is what, you know, this is how we get out in the hood, this, that, and the other. 12 or 13, 14, 16, yeah, it might have registered to me different than, you know, 38, damn near 39-year-old, you know, who's listening to that now. I'm like, yeah, I probably wouldn't necessarily rock with that now. You know what I'm saying? And you seem skeptical.
I am skeptical. Okay. Because I've been in the car with you. Okay. Like, I've seen your musical selections. It ain't all John Legend-ass nigga shit. Like, right? I hear you coming down the street,
right,
and pulling up into the driveway. So my question then is, for like, Crit ain't no angel,
right?
And you still gonna rock his shit,
right?
Like, you still gonna, so are you saying you don't fuck with Cardi now because I never, this shit came, well, that, I'm asking you, I didn't say you said it, I'm asking you.
Okay, so first of all, I mean, truth be told, Cardi's okay. I wasn't really rocking with Cardi's music like that, no way.
But are you
gonna... I let Cardi cook. And I'm not mad at Cardi. Here's the thing. I'm not mad at Cardi. All I'm saying is that I felt like there was a bunch of agendas converging right now on this particular issue.
Yeah.
And, like, I was just kind of sitting back and watching it play out.
So your beef is not so much with Cardi and what she did.
No.
Your beef is more like what people are talking about and like how
people are projecting their own issues onto what Cardi was doing or what Cardi was saying. Because, like, again, like, I kind of look at Cardi, like, I started that off with how, like, how young Cardi was and how she felt like she was compelled to have to tell people this shit. And some of this stuff is like, you know, I feel like, yo, some of this shit is just kind of better left unsaid. I mean, like, yeah. You don't really have to volunteer this information to these motherfuckers who really don't care about you. And this is just yet another thing for them to talk about you. You know, what's wrong?
Your screen is black.
It's black? Yeah. Let me refresh over here.
Like, well, also, I just want, like, the video itself is old.
Yeah, I heard that too.
The video itself is old, so it's not like she says she just did this shit yesterday. The video is old, and she's saying, like, she did this shit. And from the context of the video, I don't think this was some shit. Like, I wouldn't feel differently if she was on there bragging about the shit, because she'd be on her songs bragging about the shit. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't feel any differently if that was the case. But I think, like, the context of the video is, like, she started crying, like, it kind of was just some shit that just kind of, like, slipped out. Like, she was feeling real passionate and, like, talking about her struggles and stuff. So you could tell it's not something that she necessarily was, like, I'm proud of this shit, like, this is whatever else. You know, it was like she's talking about her struggles and her past. I mean, it is fucked up that people trying to, like, surviving Cardi B this shit. Like, that's...
Yeah, and that was the thing that I saw the most was, like, niggas trying to flip.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the whole, like, surviving R. Kelly and all these other things. Niggas tried to flip that as if it was on the same plane or the same level as what you've seen with R. Kelly, what you've seen with Harvey Weinstein, what you've seen with Bill Cosby. They were trying to put that on the same level. And it's like, nah, nigga, that's not what that was.
Yeah.
And so that was, like, one of the things that was bothering me, too, was, like, yeah, this is just y'all opportunity, or y'all feel like this is an opportunity to throw this movement down the peg because y'all feel like niggas are being called out. And instead of just being mad that these niggas are doing this shit, y'all feel like, oh, we gotta... It became a gender war thing.
Yeah.
And I don't believe it should have really been. Like, yo, that's fucked up. What she said she supposedly did was fucked up. What them niggas really did do was extremely fucked up. And they don't have the same level of severity in my field. Like, I don't feel like they had the same level of severity. So, yeah, Cardi B, Blue Blazers. Another person in these Blue Blazers streets. Wendy Williams. Wendy Williams is out here. She's going through some things, y'all. We're going to read this story here. This comes out of News1.com. It says that Wendy Williams' personal life is in the news more than any other celebrity right now. There are new reports that she was hospitalized after her husband's alleged mistress gave birth. Page Six has found a drunk was found. Wait. Page Six. She was found drunk on Monday, soon after Page Six reported that Sharina Hudson, the alleged longtime lover of her husband, Kevin Hunter, had given birth. The outlet claims that she was hospitalized and given IV fluids. That says she was still on air today. Page Six also claims that Wendy left the sober home in Queens where she had been staying, sparking a hunt for her before she was found. She is allegedly back at the sober house. However, a close source said Wendy is not in a good way. Everyone is so concerned for her. The sad thing is that she's been working so hard to stay sober, and she's been so honest in her struggles with all her fans, and this just tipped her over the edge. But the fact that she still came to the set just shows how strong she's trying to be. Yesterday, another source told Page Six that Sharina gave birth to the baby at Hahnemann University Hospital in Philly. Apparently, they chose this location because they were worried that if she gave birth in New York, it would be leaked to the press. Well, Wendy Williams has reportedly been seen without her wedding ring. Allegedly, Wendy's husband has had a longtime mistress whom he brought a home for just down the street from them years ago. Love B. Scott exclusively reported the woman was pregnant in December. She's allegedly pregnant and still living just down the street from their house. Word around the show is that they're going to divorce sometime now that little Kevin has gone to college. So, babe, how you feeling?
I feel bad for her. I feel so bad for her. God, to be having... Okay. I feel bad for her, and one of the reasons that I feel really, 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 really bad for her is, her claim to fame is talking about people's business. and dissecting fucking hot topics and stories like this. Like, her whole first part of her show is hot topics, where she talks about and dives into shit just like this. And so she's had some fucked up, like, from her, like, fucking passing out, you know what I'm saying, her dealing with grave disease, her, you know what I'm saying, everybody been talking about Kevin Hunter cheating and carrying on and acting a fool for quite some damn time. She's really only addressed it a few times, like, in the public and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So it's just awful. What had piqued my interest about this story in the beginning was when I was actually watching the episode where she said she was in a sober house and, you know, like all that stuff. And I was like, damn, like, you never know who's fucking struggling. Like, damn, that's fucked up. And then, like, to see all this happening, it's just like her husband just kicking her when she's down and stuff.
Right.
And I also feel bad for her because I kind of feel like she's like in like a cheaper to keep her type situation. It's probably would be cheaper for her to stay married to her husband, because she's the main breadwinner. She makes a lot of money. She's a wealthy woman. You know, she's got a TV show. It's syndicated. It's, you know, so God. Oh, I feel really bad for her. And I feel also really bad for her because it's like, this is triggering, you know, her drug abuse issues and stuff like that. Like, that's even worse.
Yeah.
If she was just like on TV carrying on or whatever as normal, I would still feel kind of bad for her. Cause it's like, I just don't like to see somebody else, like, you know what I'm saying, getting fucked over like that.
Yeah.
And kind of being made, she's kind of being made a fool of, but like, add the fact that she's openly like was in a sober house and going through all this is just like, God damn.
Yeah. Like, one of the things you kind of already alluded to was the fact that, like, you know, she's pretty much known for talking about everybody else, like, you know, putting everybody else's business like
out there,
like, you know, like that's pretty much been her MO for years.
Yeah,
where she was putting everybody's business out there, and she's had a lot of contentious relationships with, like, you know, celebrity people because of the fact that she maybe put something out that they didn't necessarily want out, or she talked to people or was talking about rumors about these people. And so for her to be kind of going through this, you know, some people would call it karma, whatever the fuck, but, like, yo, some shit just, you know, you really don't wish on anybody. And I believe that, like, the fact that she's also been very open about her struggles with drug abuse, alcoholism. Like, I remember was we riding to Chicago or from Chicago where we listened to an episode of Combat Jack? And,
Sleep.
You listened to that one, though.
Was she on it?
She was on it. Like, oh. We were listening to Combat Jack. That's the only podcast you really listened to while we was in Chicago. Because she was on it.
Okay.
And she talked about her drug abuse and, you know, her drinking and stuff like that. And she's got a history of it. The thing about it, like, for me is, one, like I said, I don't really wish this upon anybody to have that kind of, like, scrutiny put upon your relationship and everything else. The other thing about it, and this shit just totally, like, was on the tip of my damn tongue. it was something else about this particular story that I kind of felt like,
do you want to go pee so you can maybe think a little bit more?
Yeah, we could do that. Let me go do that. Put some old Diana Ross on. There y'all go. Be right back.
morning heartache, you all bloom aside. Morning.
All right.
You feel and better we're back. Now?
Yes, yes.
Good. I knew you was over there suffering.
Yeah. I was like, damn, I got like five more topics to go. No, but the other thing, and I found out the other thought was, you kind of alluded to like it may be a cheaper to keep her kind of situation with her husband.
Yeah.
And I was kind of thinking,
Am I using that right? I always think I'm using that wrong.
You're using it right.
Okay.
You're using it right.
All right.
So, one of the things about that though, I feel like this. There is no cost to peace of mind. Like, I don't know if you could put a price tag on peace of mind. And I kind of feel like, and I'm not one of those people who likes to count folks' pockets and shit like that. But I kind of feel like this, like, if this person is bringing you that much, you know, misery, embarrassment, pain, anxiety, despair, then if it costs you half to get rid of that level of dysfunction and like just downright fuckery, then you might want to just go ahead and pay that price to get to remove that out of your life. Because like at a certain point, like, she could lose this show because, like, she's never there anymore. You know what I'm saying? Like, they keep having to have, like, guest hosts and stuff like that. They know she's dealing with a lot of shit because of this particular situation. Like, it could become a thing where, like, yo, this breadwinner is no longer there because of these other issues.
Yeah.
And so, like, I feel like, yo, the cost of your peace of mind, like, if it's $40 or $50 million, she's worth maybe $100 million, get this nigga this $40 million and let his ass go away. You know, and become whole in yourself again to where you're not having to deal with that shit. And so,
I mean,
go ahead, babe.
Let's just, okay. There is that element, but I think there's also the element of she has said previously, she said both. She said that if he got a mistress pregnant, that she would immediately walk away. She's also said, I'm not leaving my husband, regardless mm-hmm. of mm-hmm. what goes on. So there's also the fact that, like, they are married. They had a kid. They've had a long marriage. They've had a life together. Mm. She undoubtedly loves him. So there is also that, mm-hmm. because there's plenty of women every day. Like, niggas cheat every day, and women stay every day. Mm-hmm. So it's you know, on the outside looking in, we're all probably going, like, leave that nigga, like, break up with him, like, fuck it, girl, get out of there, like, do you. You know what I'm saying? But there's so many other things probably entangled in that relationship, especially, like, if he's been there through her drug addiction and stuff like that. We don't know what, you know what I'm saying, they've been through together. We also don't know what kind of marriage they have, what kind of situation they have going on. We don't know the ins and outs of their relationship.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And it just sucks that it's, like, splashed across the news now, because they could have fucking had, you know what I'm saying, a damn agreement. Like, look, you do you, I'ma do me, we gonna stay married because, like, you my best friend and I love you at the end of the day. You know what I'm saying? And then
I would believe that if she wasn't going through all this shit, though.
Yeah. I think to me, I'm just hypothesizing, it seems like their relationship was on the rocks and or ending. They were coming to this conclusion anyway, and this is something that's been being said for a couple of years, that mm-hmm. like, she was on her way to leaving him. They were pretty much staying together until little Kevin, their son, went off to college. Everybody knows he's about to go off to college now. Mm-hmm. We're waiting for her to leave him. So I think that this has been going on for quite some time, but it's just intensified. It's just getting worse now, and it sucks. It's like fucked up timing, you know what I'm saying? Like, it just sucks that all of a sudden now, like, we're really interested in it. She's at her lowest. She's at, like, her worst time, and she has a job where she can't just say, I need fucking 6 months off. Like, she can't really just say that. It also sucks you know, this, all this is happening, and next week her show is going on hiatus. And it was already planned that it was going on hiatus right. before all of this happened. It was just a spring break situation. Yeah. So, I mean, gah. I hope she gets better.
Yeah. So, yeah, we've been talking quite a while. We got one more story.
Okay.
And we're going to lighten the... Well, I don't know how much we can lighten this shit up. But, so we're going to talk about some crazy shit, man. At least something that we think is halfway funny. So it's some niggas in Detroit, right? Niggas don't want to pay their child support, man. They don't. As a matter of fact, they went so far.
No, one nigga don't want to pay his child support, and his dumb friend decided to help him.
Let me pull this up. Oh, man. So we're going to go right back to the well at fox2detroit.com because they got the scoop. Let me pull it. Oh, and this video. So y'all got to hear this, man. Let me pull this up. So, oh, snap. I got to share my screen. So y'all can watch this right along with us. Check this out, y'all. There we go. Bam. And here we go.
An Oakland County man goes to incredible lengths to avoid being named the father of a child.
36-year-old Ken May is accused of paying another man to pretend to be him for a paternity test. Fox 2's Erica Erickson with the story.
It's like a Maury Povich show. It really is.
He isn't kidding. Macomb County Prosecutor Eric Smith baffled trying to understand why these two men would risk their freedom for something so ridiculous.
It just kills me that these two, and particularly Kenneth May, would go through such elaborate schemes to avoid being a father.
Smith says last October, a woman filed a complaint to receive a judgment declaring this man, 36-year-old Kenneth May of Southfield, as the father of her baby.
She tells us...
That nigga don't look 36.
Okay.
He looked 46. Mm. I'm just saying.
All
right. I'm noticing these kind of things lately.
Who the father is, we get a DNA test of the father, and it comes back that he is not the father.
The Macomb County Prosecutor's Office then dismissing the action, but that mother saying, no way. Prosecutors then showing her a video of May coming in to take that paternity test.
The first thing she said was, that's not Kenneth May.
Never encountering this type of situation, prosecutors then contacting May.
We found out very quickly that it was Markel Houston that went down and got a driver's license in the name of Kenneth May.
That's right. May paid his friend, 33-year-old Markel Houston of Warren, $500 to get a fake ID.
They look nothing alike.
No, they really don't.
But Smith says after May's scheme had been discovered, instead of coming forward and admitting what he'd done...
Instead, what he does is he doubles down and starts threatening the mother of this child.
Smith says May and Houston began leaving life-threatening messages to that mother and her family, even leaving dead rats and a severed cow tongue on her doorstep.
We find out later on that Kenneth May is a married man.
Oh...
Since then, May not only proven to be the father, but also charged last week with presenting a false certification, forging a driver's license, tampering with evidence, and witness intimidation.
In Macomb County, Erica Erickson, Fox 2 News.
Right. Tonight, the Macomb County Sheriff's Department confirms that Kenneth May's alleged accomplice, Markel Houston, has died. He was also wanted on charges. They cannot, however, confirm or provide us with any further details about the circumstances of his death.
All right. What are your thoughts on that one there, baby?
Man. That shit is crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's so strange. I mean, he just really did not want to pay that child support.
He did not.
Golly.
That's funny. That's like, well, it's funny and it's sad at the same time.
It is.
Like, because I didn't catch the part about the dude being married the first time I saw this story.
No, me either.
I didn't catch that. Like, that they kind of slipped that shit in on a nigga. I did not catch that one. I just kind of feel like his wife is going some...
Fuck this shit, I'm out. Mm-mm. Fuck this shit, I'm out. No thanks. Don't mind me. I'ma just grab my stuff and leave. Excuse me, please.
Yeah, I think she gone. Like, I don't think she's sticking around.
God. That's rough.
$500, man.
But you know what? It's creepy that, like, the dude that got paid the $500, like, he's dead now.
Yeah, he did.
Something happened to the, so I don't think it, they didn't say that it had anything to do with the, like, the, that case or that situation, but it's like.
Another thing I thought was interesting, too, like, they said this nigga sent, like, a severed cow tongue to our house. And I'm like, okay. Where the fuck he get a cow tongue from? Did this nigga go to Kroger's?
No, they don't have that at Kroger, but they have it at, like,
Meijer?
No, they have it at, like,
Paquette Market.
You got some shit in Paquette Market. I mean, they have that at places. They had, like, the Asian market. They have stuff like that.
Severed cow tongue.
Yeah. They have, at butchers have that.
Yeah.
Any type of, like, butcher, like, meat shop.
Like, what the fuck is that even supposed to mean? Like, sending somebody, did he see that shit in the movie?
Did you, like, cut their tongue out or something?
I don't know. A cow tongue? No, I'm just saying, like, that motherfucker about this big.
Yeah, that's a big tongue.
Like, come on, bro. Like, what are you doing? That's why his ass locked up. He ain't that bright.
No.
But, yeah, man. That has been Blue Blazes, y'all.
What in Blue Blazes is going on out here?
Did this nigga just say Blue Blazes?
So, we've been going on for a while.
Where is that clip from?
That is from the movie Talk to Me.
Okay.
About Petey Green. It's got Don Cheadle and Taraji P. Henson and Charles Sheen. Charlie Sheen.
Cool.
No, not Charlie Sheen. His daddy.
Cool story, bro.
Yo, so we're going to get on up out of here, but of course, before we do.
Yo, we got some hats now, motherfuckers.
And the ass hat of the week is none other than some nigga y'all ain't never heard of. I got another story. This comes out of Fox 2, I believe. No. We're going to Channel 7 this time. Told you, it was a lot of Detroit news this week.
Jesus.
So the ass hat of the week this week here at the Spirit Reporter Podcast is a dude that goes by the name Baby Teeth. Okay? Baby Teeth is a rapper. And Baby Teeth apparently decided that he would, like, beat his girlfriend with a hammer. So he was part of Detroit's Most Wanted, and they did a feature on him on Channel 7 here in Detroit. Let me pull this up so you guys can watch this right along with us. Yeah, this is kind of crazy. Here we go. Oh, it's muted.
Named Baby Teeth, taken into custody, and
arrest of one of Detroit's most wanted.
Rapper Dana Henry, who goes by the name Baby Teeth, taken into custody, and it's all thanks to a tip from an Action News viewer.
After our story aired yesterday, the rapper commented on our Facebook page.
How does she keep a straight face? Like, they both just, like, she just said that shit like it's fucking normal for they're gonna be called Baby Teeth. Like, at that moment, your ass would have been in fucking shambles.
Oh, man, like, I'm like, wait, hold on. This is why I'm not an anchor on fucking major network television news, because I'd have been like, wait, hold on. Baby Teeth, my nigga. Baby Teeth.
Page from his personal account mocking the arrest warrant. Well, just hours later, marshals used that tip to track him to a home in Inkster.
Action News.
Wait. You see this picture? Why is there shower gel in the window right there? You see it?
Yeah. Oh, man.
Look at this random ass bottle of shower gel just in the windowsill and shit.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
This reporter Kimberly Craig was there as Henry was captured by marshals.
Dana Henry may have wanted to be famous, but now it's for all the wrong reasons. Score another one for the U.S. Marshals.
We're getting the stall here at the door. We caught getting the stall here at the door.
The U.S. Marshals and their partners in law enforcement surrounded this townhouse in Inkster late this morning, acting on a tip that Dana Henry, a.k.a. Baby Teeth, a local rapper, was inside. We featured him yesterday on Detroit's Most Wanted, and it worked.
With Roach, come again. You said you got contact with S1 or just with the person?
Gay, saying he's here, and it looks like it's going to pan out.
Contact with S1. Verbal, he's upstairs. Coming down.
We heard his voice. We're waiting for him. We're trying to call him out right now.
And within minutes, Dana Henry was in cuffs.
We give them the option of come and surrender. That's the best case scenario. You don't do it, we will come get you. We will come find you.
Y'all bump in the strawberry, tell her the name, then went worldwide. Y'all try to make a big deal out of this. I'm about to be right out. What you mean? Why would I be running? Y'all just put this up yesterday. I ain't got no girlfriend.
Last night?
What you mean? Cuz I wasn't feeling like that.
There was a warrant out for Henry's arrest for multiple charges, including felonious assault and domestic violence. Man. He's accused of beating his girlfriend with a hammer and threatening her with a gun. And trouble is no stranger. Dana Henry has been convicted of a drug crime and even absconded from probation in August after the alleged hammer assault.
I never put a hammer to nobody's head, baby. You believe everything you hear?
I'm asking you.
Man, listen, man.
And yes, Dana Henry is presumed innocent unless proven guilty. But his arrest is proof that the U.S. Marshals and their partnerships with Detroit police, other law enforcement agencies, Crime Stoppers, and citizens indeed work.
The importance of the viewers out there calling, taking that step, making the call, remaining anonymous, getting the guy with the felony warrant off the street.
Dana Henry is expected to be arraigned in the next day or so. Kimberly Craig, 7 Action News.
So, is he baby teeth because he misses so many of them?
I don't know.
Like, his grill was kind of fucked up.
It was. I mean, his whole entirety is kind of fucked up.
Well, yeah, there's that. But, yeah, baby teeth is the ass out of the week. He's the ass out of the week here on the Spirit Report podcast this week. But y'all know, before we get up out of here, we can't leave it like that. We do have a champ.
The champ is here! The champ is here! The champ is here!
All right, the champ of the week this week here at the Spare Report Podcast is none other than somebody y'all have heard of, Jordan Peele. And Jordan Peele is the champ of the week this week here at the Spare Report Podcast is, well, the reason why is because Jordan Peele has decided that, like, yo, in any other feature films that he writes, directs, produces, it will not feature a white man in the leading role. Get this feature here from Vice.com. It says Jordan Peele is on a goddamn roll. Us, his superbly oblique horror follow-up to Get Out, is a massive success. His Twilight Zone reboot premieres next week, and the guy still has a shit ton of Nazi hunting shows and Lovecraft County adaptations and unofficial Key and Peele reunions in the pipeline. Peele has already cemented his place as one of the greatest and most prolific filmmakers in the business, and it sounds like he's going to keep using his growing fame to push Hollywood in a better direction by refusing to make movies starring yet another white dude. I feel fortunate to be in this position where I can say to Universal, I want to make a $20 million horror movie with a black family, and they say yes, Peele said during a Q&A in Los Angeles on Monday, according to The Hollywood Reporter. I don't see myself casting white dude as a lead in any of my movies. Not that I don't like white dudes, but I've seen that movie. It really is one of the best, greatest pieces of this story. It's feeling like we are in this time, Peele went on. Whoa, that shit sounds crazy. It really is one of the best, greatest pieces of this story. It's feeling like we are in this time, Peele went on as the audience reportedly cheered. A renaissance has happened and proved the myth about representation in the industry are false. During the conversation, Peele also spoke about his long path to success, starting with a stint at Mad TV and a missed opportunity to join the SNL cast, which apparently led to a stretch of time where he spent getting blazed in his room and scheming like a comic book supervillain. Eventually, those schemes turned into a shit ton of screenplays, one of which wound up becoming Get Out. So, yeah, we've seen that movie before.
Yeah.
White dudes, lead man. It's kind of passe. Jordan Peele out here pushing the envelope, putting that whole ass black family in there. And low key, like, outside of, well, the original, like, old Adelaide, I don't think no black people died in that movie.
I don't think so.
I'm fucking it up. Some black people did die, but, like, they was, like, the villain black people that died. Like, not, like, yeah, all right, I'm fucking it up.
Yeah.
I'm about to get on up out of here. We got to go. But, of course, before we do, let me remind you guys, how to get in touch with us over here at the Spirit and Poor Podcast and let your voice be heard, go ahead and hit up that hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. Of course, we'll replay them on the show and respond in kind. You can also leave us an email at feedback@thespareandpoor.com. That's feedback@thespareandpoor.com. Leave those emails, and of course, we'll read those emails here live on the show and respond to you that way as well. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span. So go ahead, follow me there. Chop it up with me throughout the week. And you can also do that with my wife, who is on Twitter.
Podcast Bay.
There you go. Follow my wife on Twitter. She's a very good follow. Funny.
All right. That's enough out of you.
Okay. All right. And also, man, leave us a 5-star review on iTunes and on Stitcher Radio. Those 5-star reviews are the ones that get read here on the show. We really do appreciate everybody who does that. And you can go to our website, www.thespanreport.com. Go there, watch replays of the show. You can vote in the polls. You can go there and buy merch from our store. You can donate to the show. Pretty much everything is available there at www.thespanreport.com. And those links will be in the show notes. We're about to get on up out of here. And we'll talk to you guys again soon. But until next time, fam, peace.
Bye.